So just to kick things off this morning, you'll see a couple of people dressed similarly to me, and that would be the team that's getting back from Zambia. We left on the 6th and we got back on the 16th. We spent 10 days in Zambia. The first 4 days were in, that's where we were. The first 4 days were in the David Livingstone Memorial Presbyterian Church. You thought we had a long name. And we were with Reverend Christopher Kandawiri. Christopher and myself have been friends for many years. They're busy with a building project. You'll see in that photograph there. They've decided to go big or go home. Well, they just went big. They are building this huge church over the existing church. And as soon as the outside's built, they'll take the outside down and it'll be a huge take the inside down. It'll be just this big church. Yeah, don't take the outside down again. That'd be silly. And so so that was our first stop. And I've had a connection with Reverend Kandawiri for many, many, many years. And I thought I'd just share this next photograph just to give you a bit of context. When I visited for the first time, we arranged a mission trip with the church that I was at in Kempton Park and a church in Pretoria. And those first two doors on the left-hand side there were the first rooms for their classroom, and we went and built the foundations and laid the floor on our first mission trip. The school now is catering for about 100 kids. Was it 100? 120? Yeah. Anyway, and so so we've got a little bit of history there in Livingstone. And then, so that was where we were. Our first day, we hit the road running. We went to a place where there was a school and a water tank and a water pump had been stolen. And so our job for the day was to install a water tank and a water pump. It was scary because we managed to get the thing on top of that construction and then we had to try and stand it on its end. And there was a lot of encouragement, loud encouragement from the ground. A lot of scary moments with people hanging on to scaffolding and stuff. But yeah, we did that and we installed a new pump and we also put in some solar power so that it could run all the time. So that was a hard day's work. But while that was happening, we had a lady from the Livingstone a Presbyterian Church who does their children's ministry, Monday, and Monday was doing Sunday school under the tree while we were doing water tanks and shouting at each other, gently encouraging each other. So ministry was happening to the little people, and the sadness of the situation is that the water tank and the pump were stolen, and most of the people in this community are actually blind. And so it was a real blow for a community that was struggling already to be faced with that. Then, because we were in Livingstone, we had to go to the Victoria Falls, and they were spectacular because I chose that photograph. Oh. And they were spectacular because the falls were like in full flood, and many people leading up to this trip have asked me the question, "Who is Madison?" Okay. That's Madison and Shoba. And you'll hear from Madison shortly. But that was our day of recreation. Avoiding baboons with our bananas was interesting. Walking all the way down to the boiling pot was tiring for some, more for some than others. The next day we went to a place called Simonga Village. And Simonga Village, the Livingstone Church is starting a ministry there. They want to start a church, and so they've done a few outreaches. So we went on an outreach. We had Tommy preach, a fiery preach, and then there was an altar call. We prayed for people and then delivered clothes to the people. So that was that. The next day we landed up at the Xavier Community School, and the church is also doing work there amongst the young people. Monday was in full flare, and Shoba was just holding paper, but he was there. he's featuring a lot in these photos. We took him along for his good looks. And so So we did this children's program, and in actual fact, it was really awesome because they'd arranged this beforehand. We didn't do anything but arrive and just be a part of the crowd and just enjoy what had happened. And there's a ministry called Samaritan's Purse, which does Christmas boxes, shoe boxes. But because of the number of kids that need to get these boxes, and because Christmas is a short period, they give out the boxes all year round. So the boxes had arrived and we were delivering them. And I posted that picture on our Instagram feed and our Facebook page because this girl was so, so excited about getting her box. Every single thing. I've got so many pictures of her just pulling out one thing after the other with a massive smile on her face. Then we flew to Lusaka. It's about a 600-kilometer trip. If you do it by train, it'll take you 19 hours, so we didn't do that. We flew, and we went to the Chelston Presbyterian Church, and we've had relationships with them for many, many years, and but we didn't know the new minister, so we got to meet Reverend Nyerenga, and his congregation looked after us very well. We did the Sunday service where I got to preach a really awesome message. Lusaka was ministry and food. And ministry and food. And ministry and food. And so after I'd preached, we went and had food. Then we had a day off where we went to the Kalimba Reptile and Animal Park, and we all got to hold snakes and play with crocodiles and all of that good stuff. I had my revenge on the crocodiles by having a crocodile burger. Food again, you might see. And then we took a really awesome trip to the Hillcrest Presbyterian School. So many, many years ago, we made contact with this church in Livingston. And they had the school, and we were instrumental in helping them establish some of the school. And so we go every year, we go and see where the school is. So just to say, the first picture there was their hall. No, go back. And then a couple of years later, what the hall looked like. And then this picture is what the hall looks like now. Just that little plinth is left. But on the last trip, when the hall was falling apart, they'd started this building on the left of your screen. And when we went, they'd finished that building. So there's definitely progress. But what about the kids? Well, they managed to get some funding from, I can't remember who, some community funding. And they've built this building for the school. And they have mirrored that building. And they've got foundations and floors. They're now waiting for funding to build another block. They call it a 1x3. It's a one block with three classrooms. So they'll have 6 classrooms. So it's incredible that we have a school 100 kilometers north of Lusaka called the Hillcrest Presbyterian School. Your footprint extends a long way. Then, what did I say next? Oh, then we got back to South Africa. We landed safely, and so I'm going to let some of my team just share some of their highlights. Some of these people are excellent public speakers, and others are incredibly nervous, but let me introduce them to you. You can all come up at the same time so that everybody can see our beautiful clothing that was made for us. We were at Lusaka, and a guy pitched up with a tape measure saying, "I am the guy that's going to make you shirts and skirts," and he measured us all, and we got these shirts and skirts as gifts. So we are, yes, who is Madison? Here she is. Here's Susan. And Tommy's running his church in Embo and Malweni, so that's why he's not here. So I'm going to hand over to you guys. Who's number one?
Got me. There it is. So, Zambian flag. It was quite a trip for me. It was my first time outside the country. So, I had never left South Africa. So, it was a first trip outside the country. My wife helped me pack. And so, I went over by like 2.5 kgs. I had a sleeping bag there. I had 2 towels. I didn't know what to expect. So when we arrived in Livingston, Livingston felt more rural. And I have to say off the bat is we are one Africa. And I know that Julius Malema is not the most popular as a populist himself. But I remember sitting there and thinking, especially after our Zona Felbe attacks, we've had those twice now. And when he was saying that a lot of, especially in KZN, we need as South Africans to go into Africa. Because you realize that we are one. You realize and the history and how it's formed that we are one. And the Zambian people are just such beautiful, beautiful people. Like, they really are. They don't have this animosity that our country has. Another thing about Zambian people is that they're also eloquent in their speaking, like little children. It's hello, and it's hello, I'm well, thank you, and how are you? It's full colonial sentences. So they've got 73 tribes, and so because they all got this different kind of languages, because I try to learn the language. The day before, I try to learn the language. So because James had said, when we left, James had said to us, to himself, they take they faith seriously. And so we try to learn a little bit of the language. And so I was learning the day before. Mulishani, Dr. Taylor, I had it on lock. But we arrive in Livingston, and Livingston is not Mbemba. Mbemba is more northern. So everyone kept looking at me funny to be like, dude, we don't speak that language here. It's like, yeah, but you're black. It's just like, no, we've got 73 of these languages. So I had to learn the other language, which was Nyasha, which was at the bottom of the country. But because they're so diverse, English is the language that they speak amongst themselves as well. And so it really was humbling to see that we are one nation, one Africa. And that's one thing that I took from it. But in Livingston, one of my highlights was that when you cross the road, I'll stop. I'll put the hazards on, and pedestrians have right of way. Like, no one does the whole, right? Everyone just kind of slows down. Pedestrians have got right of way, and there's like a code. They look into each other's eyes. Like, no, okay, like using the, your flickers, we don't do that. Like, they just like, you sense that I'm going to come in here, right? And so, yeah, I can sense it, so you can come in. Like, it would be scary to drive in Zambia. So then I found the room. We got welcomed. We ate a lot of shema, which is really like pap for us. But they eat it piping hot. Like, it's piping hot. And you don't use a spoon. They don't use a spoon. You use your fingers. And they do it so neatly. It's these three, and you get your pap and your fish and everything. And just these, and I couldn't do that. I looked like a five-year-old child, and my hands were greasy. So by the time we got to Livingston, I had that wrapped up. But my highlight for Livingston was just how everyone was so friendly. By the time we got to Lusaka, I was comfortable. It was everyone was so friendly. Pastor B kind of downplays the tank. That was quite interesting. Lots of encouragement. Yes, lots of encouragement. There was a time where he got up, and I thought to myself, if Lana were to see this, she would. And he was, no warning. He was like, no, I'm just going to do it. And then boom, boom, boom. He was like a Spider-Man. Like, Ben, you would have been like, dude, you should come climb with me, bro. And then we went to Lusaka, and we had a family host us. And the first thing they did is that they gave us a bath towel mat, or like a towel to like bath with. And I found that like so welcoming to be like, hey, welcome. Here's a towel that you can use. We bought one brand new. I didn't miss having showers. We didn't have showers. Everything was. Bucket and you throw it. I mean, it was, It was interesting. And as I conclude for my highlights, when we went to, I think we drove an hour and a half, or maybe 2 hours, I can't remember. It was extremely uncomfortable. Now, this is when I realized that Maddie has got a pitch that goes a little bit higher. So we're getting into the taxi, and I'm joking. Now, a lot of people who've taken taxis here in South Africa, in the past, it's 4-4-4. It's four at the back. You come back in fours. Now they've changed the rules. It's four at the back, and then it's 3-3-3. And I was making a joke, and I'm like, hey, bo, 4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4. And so Umadi is sitting, and she's like, yeah, you know. And then Truce Bob is like, can you just squeeze, and they're going to come in. And she's like, where? It's like, there's no space here. Like, her pitch went right up. And it's just like, yeah. And then Pastor B, I mean, we had a photo. And we were all squashed. My bum cheek was numb. I mean, I was pins and needles all the way to, that's where we, yeah, to the school which we're going to. And it was a rough road. It was really uncomfortable. It really was. I was pins and needles. I had to do stretches. But when we got there, we did the school. It was all good. But where my heart changed, where my life changed, I came back with so much vigor coming back from Zambia. And this is when it happened. Is we got to school, and one of the teachers comes, and they do a whole sing and dance for us. Eh? We got the kids sing the school song, and then they sing the Zambian national anthem, and then there was the poetry, and then the headmaster, whoever he was, does his presentation. And he spoke for 7 minutes. 7 minutes was the achievements that the school had done. And then for 2 minutes, he spoke about the challenges. And I thought to myself, in this kind of setting, it should have been the opposite. It should have been 7 minutes challenges and 2 minutes achievement. And he was just speaking about they had 13 volunteer teachers. And it's changed that the government has now employed these volunteer teachers. And now there's only one volunteer teacher. And that volunteer teacher was him. And yet he had started with the school. And so all these years he had been volunteering. And he still volunteers, which means when the government came to pay, to say, okay, we want the teachers, he should have been the first up to say, hey, hang on, I'm the longest serving, I should get paid first. But he let all these other teachers get paid, and he's the last man standing. And he stands there, and for 7 minutes, he speaks about achievements. Then we move and we go to this lady, and everyone took photos with this lady, and I chose not to take photos of this lady because I remember thinking, I want to remember this in my heart. I want to take a photo with my heart. It's a teacher, and like I said, they were all well-educated. I mean, South Africans, we just need to be more humble. I really think if more South Africans would go into Africa, we wouldn't be as entitled. Yes. We wouldn't be as entitled. And so she's a teacher, and she's got a love for children. She's involved in a car accident. Her mom's a nurse. She's lying on the bed. She's paralyzed. It must be from neck down. And her mom actually stopped working as a nurse to take care of her. And if I were to tell you what the peace of Jesus Christ and the joy of Jesus Christ looks like, it was that lady, Lucy. It was Lucy. She was beaming and just so, it changed my life. We walk out and people take photos, and I said, no, I'm going to take a photo with my heart. I never want to forget this moment. And as I walk out, I hear the Holy Spirit say to me, and then you have the audacity to complain. You complain. Where do you come off complaining? when you have Lucy, who's lying there and is just pure joy and pure peace of Jesus Christ. Now, I know she has challenges, but for that most part, for the most part, that's what I gathered. It completely changed my heart. I remember Pastor B saying, "Are you tired?" And I was just like, but it wasn't. It wasn't. It was me wrestling with myself of trying to find a place of being so joyous of being able to see that and experience that and being like, I need to take some of that. So much so that when I prayed that night, I said, "Lord, if all believers could experience and know that kind of peace and that kind of joy, I pray for all believers to experience what that lady does." She then offered to get 50 cements to go to a school. That school that's been built there, she's put the foundations down for a second building. She gets into her wheelchair and they wheelchair her into the CBD of Lusaka so that she can fight that a bridge is built for two kids so that they can get to school. Yes, the community will obviously use that, but her objective was that these two children should have a right to go to school. And the last thing she said to us is what, "Please don't forget the children." And that can't not touch my heart because I'm in ministry with kids. That woman was amazing. And that was the mark that Zambia left on me that I've taken and I've brought back home. And so during Nation Changes, I'm going to be adding one or two of the things, Nation Changes. I do think that we can make a difference. I think that we can touch and change lives. But yeah, that's my bit. Cool.
I'll be a lot shorter, so don't worry. I know time is running on. So Maddie and I stayed together, and our experiences ranged from locking our hosts out the one evening out of their own home to what you have in Zambia is they call the dancing roads. So in Zambia, only a handful of main roads are actually tarred. The rest are gravel and badly potholed. So you're doing this in the car all the time. So you're dancing in the car. Anyway, so there was the fun experiences there. Seriously though, just two things that really touched my heart there was the incredible generosity of the people. Of people who have very, very little, that they just opened their homes and opened their hearts to us and just made us feel that we were home from home. The second thing that was incredible for me is that they walk with God so closely each and every day in everything that they do. For me, you know, I wake up in the morning and I do my Bible reading and then I'm off to work and, you know, I leave at work at 6 o'clock. And, you know, I seldom sort of spare God another thought until maybe I get home and I'm lying in bed and I say, you know, "Thank you, Lord, for the day." Every single thing that they do, wherever they go, they offer a prayer. They climb in their car. They offer a prayer for protection, for safety travel. They thank God for each and every single thing that they are going through and in their lives. So they just walk so much closer with God and with Jesus in their lives. And I just thought, wow, I need to actually implement that in my life as well. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. My name is Bongani. I don't know where to start because, like, seems like everyone has just said everything that I was planning to say. First and foremost, I would like to thank Shoba. 4 years back, he was the one who invited me to church. Secondly, I would like to thank Mr. Brian to have such a leader as my pastor, to have someone who opened his heart, hands, everything for me to have such an experience. Zambian trip, it was so spiritual growing for me. I don't know how can I explain it. I'm the kind of a person who's nervous most of the time. And to speak in front of everyone, I would say it's the first time for me. But I'm that kind of a person who feels the most, who don't know how to explain, but it was so touching for me. The waterfall, people there, so loving. I even went to one of the people, the houses we were in. Yes, Colonel. It was every night before we go to sleep, Bible study. For me, it was, I'm not used to this, but I like this thing. It is so good. For me, Zambian trip, it was spiritual growing in ways that I can't explain. And I would like to say, if another day I was given to go there, I will just go there with my heart, hands open wide. Thanks for everyone.
Hello, everybody. I'm the Maddie. Hi. Wow, what an experience. I just want you to imagine an 18-year-old girl who's never left the country without her parents and was put 10 days in Zambia. Little bit scary. It was such an experience. I've come back feeling more humble and so much more appreciative of things that I have, like a shower. I didn't shower for 10 days. It was all bucket water, and I didn't have a towel. I used a shirt for 10 days. And I know that I didn't shower for 10 days because Shoba was kind enough to tell me, Mads, I know when you're around because you stink of tab art. You stink, like, go away. Because I was so scared to get bitten by mosquitoes that I reeked of tab art for 10 days. But I did not get bitten once, so maybe it was worth it. It worked. I'm so humbled that I went. I saw things that I can't even stand up here and explain it to you. It's something that you see with your eyes, but you feel it, and you just can't speak about it. It's life-changing. And as a teenager, or as a teenage girl, you so worry about, what am I going to wear? Do I look good? Do I look better than everyone else? Do I have the best handbag, shoes? And I went there, and there's kids there, and all they have is the torn shirt and pants that they're wearing. And they wear that every day, the whole day. They don't have another pair of clothing to change into. And now I just feel like I open my cupboard and I'm like, wow, this is actually too much. And my parents would know I've got too many handbags. And shoes. Shoba complained about the shoes. Man, you brought too many shoes. I thought I was all right. But wow, there's no words. Those kids and the opportunity that each and every single one of you sitting here have. Every day you go out and you've got endless opportunities that you can make, that you can find. Those kids don't have it like we do. They don't have the opportunity to go out and do whatever they want. And so if one thing I could teach you guys from coming back there is be so thankful for everything you have, because those kids don't have it. They don't have it. There's kids that walk 15 kilometers just to get to school, never mind walk back home. So love it, love the life you have, live it well, because there's kids that are struggling. Thank you.
Thanks, you guys. Yeah, you can grab a seat. I'm just going to say one thing real quickly Brian. Another Brian. There's two of us in the church.
I've been really taken by this presentation of Zambia, mainly because I have a background from Zambia. But what I wanted to mention is that Zambia is probably the only country in the world whose constitution involves the Christian faith. Yeah. The prelude to the constitution says, whereas we respect all religions, we will be guided by the Christian religion as expressed in the Holy Bible. Mm. And I think that's important and sets the scene for a lot of what we've heard.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks so much. You're good there.